of the best Southern gospel music writers that I've ever heard come down the pike. And she's rejoicing tonight, and I'm rejoicing down here. And one day we're going to get together. Amen. God's good, and I bless his name. It's come time for preaching tonight. Appreciate Brother Scott Moneyham, pastors the Holly Springs Baptist Church over in Rutherfordton, North Carolina. I appreciate his heart for camp meeting and his support of camp meeting. Appreciate his family and appreciate a lot of his church people being here tonight. Brother Scott, you come around. He's God's man for this hour. You listen, you hear him, you help him. Amen. God can meet the need tonight. Love you, brother.
Amen. Thank the Lord for the good service thus far. Thank the Lord for the good week. Appreciate all that God has said and done, all that he has allowed us to see and all that he has allowed us to hear. Amen. I'd ask you to pray in these moments that the Lord would touch us. I'd say again tonight, pray for my wife. She was nervous last night about what I might say. And after last night, she's nervous tonight about what I might do. And evidently, Jordan is as well. He's moved the keyboard from off the platform, amen. You pray the Lord would help us tonight. Turn with me in the Word of God, if you will, to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. Hear the Word of the Lord tonight. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam. And let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content. I pray thee, go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, my master, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. And the iron did swim. Therefore, said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. And the Lord will add his blessings to the reading of his word tonight. I'm well aware tonight that there are a host of applications from this familiar text. I've heard it preached on many times. I've heard it preached on many times in this place where the thought is recovering what is lost or regaining your cutting edge. And before this meeting's over, someone is liable to preach from this very text and magnify those truths. And those are truths that come from this text. But tonight I pray the Holy Ghost would help me to help you maybe to take a new look or a fresh look at this text tonight. I'm interested in this phrase in verse 5 where this unnamed prophet says, alas, for it was borrowed. It's no accident tonight that this unnamed prophet in this text is using that which is borrowed. It was not his own. It was borrowed, which means it used to be in someone else's hands. And it's no accident tonight that this is Elisha. Elisha was a borrower. Elisha is using what used to be in somebody else's hand. Elisha is using that mantle that Elijah had. Oh my, he and this unnamed prophet was a borrower. I'm keenly aware tonight what it is to be a borrower of the pulpit I stand in. I'm mindful that a great man of God once stood there. I'm mindful I preach where another preached. I preach the same book he preached. I sow in the field he sowed in, but I am but a borrower. And I would remind every one of us tonight, and would remind you tonight, so are you. But I want to say to you tonight, the picture in this text and the picture in this phrase goes far, far deeper than merely borrowing what someone else used to have. It literally tonight is a place of begging. A place of begging. The thought here tonight is that of begging. So for a moment or two tonight, I want to preach on, alas, it's begged. Alas, it's begged. Now you done looking at me saying, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Where in the world are you going? Well, come go with me for a moment or two, and I pray the Lord might show it unto us. I want to direct your attention right quick, first of all, to this unnamed prophet, this man, and his confession. It is a humble confession of this servant that he has lost what did not belong unto him. That he was a borrower, yes, but that which has been lost belonged to someone else. This man is evidently so poor, he did not have an axe of his own. And of course, in that day and in that hour, axes and weapons of warfare were rare. The Philistines in the days of Saul had slain all the smiths. It was rare for anybody to have an axe. Axes were valuable, and they just couldn't go to the local hardware store and pick one up. And maybe had they been able to go somewhere, they wouldn't have been able to pay for one maybe. I just happened to go in the store down on the bypass yesterday afternoon. Why, a hatchet down yonder is $46. An axe is $65, and it wasn't even a double-bitted axe. Now, I know you city people don't know what that means, but I'm talking about they're not cheap. So this man is so poor, this man has to borrow an axe from somebody else so he can contribute so that he can fell a beam, so that he can head to the place for the men of God to study. But here's the key point tonight. Here's the key thought tonight. The word that is translated borrowed for us in verse 5 literally has the thought of asked for. Ask for. It has the idea of earnestly seeking. Earnestly asking for. It has the idea of begging. I don't know where this man got this axe, but it was valuable and it was rare, and for somebody else to give the axe to him, he begged, he asked for. Yes, I know he borrowed, but it's far, far deeper than that. He begged. So here's a humble confession tonight. Oh my, that he needed what he did not have on his own tonight. Oh my, you and I do well tonight just to get honest and humble that you and I in ourselves have nothing that we need. Paul himself operated under that principle. Paul said, oh my, I planted and Apollos watered, but it's God who gave the increase. He says in the next chapter, what different from you from one another? If you've got something, it's been given from another. Hear me tonight, all we have tonight has been given unto us. It's on loan to you. It's on loan to me. We're borrowers, yes. But oh my, it's deeper than that. Now, could I say to you tonight, I believe the axe head tonight symbolizes the proclamation of God. It symbolizes the word of God. We've got to have the word of God tonight. I want to say to you tonight, the axe head, I believe, symbolizes the power of the word tonight. We've got to have the gospel tonight. I want to say tonight, I believe the axe head represents yet another thing. I believe the axe head represents a person. I believe it represents the person of the Holy Ghost, the power of the word. I'm here to tell you tonight, we can't do it on our own. We must have the word, we must have the gospel, and we must have the power of the Holy Ghost tonight. And don't sit there tonight and kick it out of gear and saying, well, he's a preaching to the preachers. I want to tell you, mama, you need axe head to raise him youngins. You need the word of God. You need the gospel. You need the power of the Holy Ghost. Hey, daddy, you need the word. You need the gospel. You need the power of the Holy Ghost. You need the axe head of God tonight. Oh, my. But our problem tonight, we're too much like that steward in Luke 16 who lost his stewardship. But because of pride, he makes this confession. To beg, I am ashamed. Oh, my. I'll tell you now, you and I just ought to need to get humble and we ought to get honest. We got to have God. We got to have the word of God. We got to have the gospel. It's the power of God. We've got to have the Holy Ghost tonight. Oh, my. But notice this confession is not just humble. This confession is honest. He does not claim as his what is not his. He does not claim to own what he does not own. And I got news for you and I tonight. We don't own the word. We don't own the gospel. And we sure enough don't own the Holy Ghost. No, he doesn't claim to own what's not his. Then he's honest. He doesn't hide. He doesn't hide the fact that he's lost what is not his. Then he's honest yet in a third way. He doesn't try to keep chopping and acting as if everything was okay. Now, I don't have time to deal with it tonight. It's not really my focus tonight from the text tonight. But I know a lot of Baptists tonight that are chopping away and they're just beating the stick. That's all they've got in their hands is a stick. They've lost the axe head. They've lost the word of God. They've lost the power of the gospel. They've lost the power and the feeling and the touch of the Holy Ghost tonight. I'm here to tell you tonight, we better get to begging. We better get to begging because we don't have in ourselves that which we need tonight. Oh, my. I mean, I know of church members tonight that have lost the axe head. And they want to act like everything's okay. And they want you and me to act like everything's okay. There's not anything okay when you lose your axe head. I'm talking about a humble, honest confession tonight. Right quick, can I say something about this man and his conscientiousness? This unnamed prophet was not being careless in what he was doing. He's usually criticized. I know this will tear up a lot of sermons, but the truth is there are a lot of sermons that need to be torn up. I would say to you men tonight, it is the text that drives the sermon. The sermon doesn't drive the text. And countless folks criticize this man should have been paying attention. This man should have been giving attention to the axe head. This man should have been more careful. Well, the critics nor you were there. Elisha was. And there's no place in this text before or after the man of God criticizes this man, this prophet, for losing the axe head. It's not there. Why? Because this man is mindful. It's borrowed. This doesn't belong to me. That's why when he loses the axe head, it's alas, master. It's begged. Alas, master. It's begged. Oh, my. That word alas, it's harder to define. It's easier to demonstrate. Oh, he's a chopping away. He's cutting down. And the axe head flies off. I can see him maybe running to where the splash was. Maybe getting a few feet in the water. Oh, it's begged. It's not mine. I need it. I gotta have it. Alas, it's not just borrowed. It's begged. It's begged. Why? Because he's conscious. It's not his. It belongs to another. He's wanting to be a faithful steward. And I'd remind you tonight, the number one requirement of being a faithful steward is that word faithful. Faithfulness. He knows he's not the owner. And I'm here to tell you tonight, the moment you go to thinking you're the owner of this book, you're the owner of the gospel as to who you give it to and who you don't give it to, you're the owner of the Holy Ghost, I want to tell you, you're in a world of trouble. You got a stick if you've even got that in your hands when you go to thinking that you are the owner. This man is conscientious. He knows what he's lost does not belong unto him. Could I pause one more time and stop right here and say, we need to go to begging God. We need to go to begging God for the power of God, the power of the word, the power of the gospel, and the power of the Holy Ghost. We better go to begging again. Oh, my. But now look here tonight. This is a principle. Axe heads come off when they're used. An axe head that's over in the corner, never used, the axe head doesn't come off. Axe heads are lost in the course of being used. Brother Adrian Rogers said it so well. He's in heaven now, I know. But he was on target years ago when he said our problem today is there are no preachers being burned at the stake anymore. And a lot of what Brother Bagwell preached to us last night, which is right. We may see that day, but the truth is that may be one of the best blessings that's come to the church in a long time. It's when the church has known persecution that the church has got serious about God. But oh my, too many preachers, too many churches are treating the word of God, treating the gospel, and treating the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost, oh my, as a casual thing. We better go to begging again. Oh my. Now look here, axe heads come off. It's so common in Deuteronomy 19, there's a law governing it. That if you're out chopping wood and your axe head comes off and it kills a man, you need to run to the city of refuge. It's so common, it's recorded in the word. I'm here to tell you, you can and will likely at times in your life, ministry, if you're a preacher, just a child of God, you and I will lose the axe head on occasion. Right quick, could I have you notice with me this man and his calamity? This man is calamity. It's unexpected. It's unexpected. While he's a working, while he's a chopping, while he's a serving God, get this, while he's doing something for the glory of God, building a place where the men of God can study the word of God, that's why they pray in verse 1. It's not about them. No. That's why they seek the counsel of the man of God in verse 2. No, it's not about them. It's about God and his glory. Oh my, while he's a servant, while he's doing the will of God, the work of God, in God's way, I would say to you, he loses unexpectedly the axe head. And I'm here to tell you tonight, troubles come in the course of day-to-day life, and troubles come in the course of day-to-day ministry. Unexpected tonight. Yes, You may be sitting here on a Friday night of camp meeting, and you've experienced some unexpected loss. You didn't look for it. You didn't think it would ever happen. You wouldn't look for it to come out that way. But oh my, you've lost an axe head. It's an unexpected calamity. Could I say it's an unsurmountable calamity? Now, had this thing come off on land, he could have no doubt found it. He could have got the guys and say, hey, everybody stop. Let's scour the bushes here. Had it come off on land, he could have hunted it down. But no, it's come off. It's flown off into the muddy Jordan River. Now, I do not know the location where all this activity is taking place. If this school of the prophets that they're building, if it's anywhere near Gilgal, or if it's anywhere near Jericho, those are the two deepest places of the muddy Jordan River. The axe head's lost. He can't see it. He can't feel for it. I believe he surely had to get a little bit down in the water. He can't feel for it. He can't see it. He can't find it. And some of you are sitting here tonight, that's where you're sitting. You've lost some things that are precious, and you can't see them, and you can't feel them, and you can't find them. I'll tell you what you need to do tonight. You need to do exactly what this man does. You need to go to begging. You need to go to begging. Begging once again for God to give and for God to restore. I'm talking about a calamity that's unexpected, a calamity that is insurmountable. Alas, Master! Master, alas, Master, it's borrowed, it's begged. But I will tell you tonight, if you'll ever humble yourself to the Master, if you'll ever get down before the Master, he will raise you up. In fact, there's just no telling what he might raise up. He's just liable to raise up tonight what you have lost or lost sight of. Now, the man of God says, show me the place. Take me back to the place. Because there's always a place when you and I lose something. And you'll never get it again until you go back. You can go here, you can go there, but you're going to have to go back if you get it again. Joseph and Mary, remember, left Jesus. Had to go all the way back, 3 days' journey, whole trip. Oh my. Alas, Master, alas, it's borrowed, it's begged, Master, it's begged. I asked for it, it's not mine. I need it, it's begged. Right quick, I want you to notice Elisha's casting in verse 6. The man of God said, in fact, while I'm right there, you better be able to go to the man of God and talk to the man of God and get to the man of God. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick. Interesting word. Over in the book of Esther, it's translated gallows. Something designed for judgment. Something designed to bring death. But 160 times in the Word of God, it's not translated stick. It's not translated gallows. It's translated tree. Tree. This man lost something he desperately needed. Oh my. But because there was a tree. Oh my. There was help and there was hope for him. I remind you that there was a fall. And because of a fall, everything was lost. But hallelujah, because of a tree, there is restoration that is possible. Hallelujah. My son told us well on Tuesday, you're gonna mow a straight line, you better get your eye on the tree. I'll tell you tonight, there's a tree. You'll not mow a straight line. You'll not walk a straight line. You'll not plow a straight furrow. And you'll not beg and get an answer except for the fact, hallelujah, there is a tree. There is a tree. But I want you to notice the casting. Of this tree into the water, into Jordan, into death, the casting of the tree. What was out of sight, what couldn't be seen, what couldn't be felt, what couldn't be handled, what was out of sight is about to be recovered. Amen. Because of this casting and because of this tree. Now notice the text. And the iron did swim. They weren't no swimming till the tree was cast in. Jordan River was taking the axe head further down the river away from the man that lost it. The iron did swim. Now this will make some of you want to stone me, but that's fine. I don't worship King James. I worship King Jesus. But I'm glad I can tell you tonight that the only, I haven't gone back today and checked Tyndale and Coverdale and Geneva, but to my knowledge, the only version of the Bible that translates this verse right is our beloved King James Version. For many say that the iron did float. I won't tell you. Floating and swimming are two different things. If something's floating, it's going with the flow. That's where some of you at tonight. You floating here, you floating there. You just going with the flow. But hear me tonight, this word is sophoth. It's only used three times in the Word of God. It's in Deuteronomy 11 verse 4. Where the Word of God says that God made the waters of the Red Sea to overflow over them and He drowned them. Float won't work. God just didn't float some water. No, God with force overflowed the enemy with water and drowned them and sent them to hell. Float don't work. In Lamentations 3, Jeremiah is expressing great heartache, great anguish. And he cries out, waters have flowed over my head. He's overwhelmed. Float don't work. And then it's used this time in 2 Kings 6. And in each case, force is involved. Movement is involved. Force and movement, but look here, force and movement against the current. Against the current. Now you can float and go with the current, or you can swim and go against the current. And here, no doubt, the devil, no doubt, was rejoicing. Hell was rejoicing. There's one at least that's lost his accent. There's a gal that she's lost her accent. She's lost her testimony. Oh my, you could go with the flow, or you could tonight go to begging. You could tonight go to saying, oh God, would you restore unto me that which I have lost. And hear me tonight. We're in a day and we're in an hour where the current of the world and the current of hell is against us. You and I better go to begging God. So a preacher, the world's against us, as my pastor would say, what of it? Hell's it? What of it? Hey, the current may against you. The current down yonder, that church may against you, man of God. Go to begging, go to begging, go to begging. Because there's a tree. Because there's a tree. You may have your axe head restored. Oh, man, I'm saying tonight we better go to begging God again. I close with this. I'm not going to preach it. I'm just going to give it to you. There's this casting. But look in verse 7, there's this commission. Take it up. Take it up. Lift it up. Only three times is it translated take. 47 times is translated to exalt. To raise high. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But if you raise an axe head high, you only going to do one thing. You're going to chop something. You're going to chop. You know what Elisha said? You know what Elisha said to this man? Take it up. Raise it up. Go to chopping again. Go to chopping again. Go to chopping again. Hey, man of God, I don't know what you may have lost tonight. I'll tell you what y'all do. You ought to beg God. You ought to beg God. Oh, Master, alas, 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 it's begged. I need it. You ought to beg God, and you ought to go back Sunday morning and climb in the pulpit and chop one more time. Chop one more time. I don't know what you've lost, but you can regain it. But there's no recovery. There's no restoration without the tree, but not just that, without the begging. Amen. Hallelujah, there is a tree. I know the Jordan River was deep and muddy, and the Jordan River represents death, but hallelujah, I'm glad I know one who hung on a tree, who's conquered hell, death, and the grave, and oh my, the key for you and I tonight is to go to begging. That's a message, preacher.